Amen, amen. What a great reminder that He is faithful, right? Very good. He is faithful, right? Yeah, okay. I was just making sure. Just, you know. I know it's spring break week for some of the kids. And oh, man, that's good stuff right there. So we are so glad that you are here. I am thankful you're here. I love to see your smiling faces. And you'll see why today, why that is so important and what role that each and every one of us have to play in the church. And every single role is vital and it's important and God uses us. And so we're in a series called Experiencing God Every Day. We're learning practical ways to walk with God. And if you were joining us for the last few weeks, we've answered questions like, how do I understand the Bible better? And what is God's will for my life? And today, we're tackling the question, what is my role for the church? Or what is my role in the church? And if you have grown up in the South, or maybe even just been around church, you've heard the term church. And you're not really sure what that looks like, or what does it mean, and how do I interact with the church, and what does the Bible say about the church? And then, on top of that, what is my role in the church? What am I supposed to do? How do I fit in this interchangeable piece of the church? And so hopefully you'll get a little bit more clarity today of what that looks like and why it's so practical for you and I and what this looks like. And so my name is Daniel Kazdave. I'm so glad that you are here. Today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll spend a lot of time there. And so if not, we'll have it on the screens for you as well. But we are glad you're here. And if you're listening online, we hope that you tune in and plug in with us as well. So I'm going to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts, and then we're going to jump right in. Does that sound good? Yes. Very good. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful that we are here today, that we have breath in our lungs. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that the Word would illuminate the steps that we need to take, God, whether that is first coming to know you or taking steps in the church or whatever that may look like. I pray that we can just open our hearts, open our minds to what that looks like and what have you called us to do? What have you called us to live our lives in community and with you, God? We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So when I think about this question, what is my role in the church? I was reminded of the story when I was in probably middle school. And I don't know how your parents worked or operated, but for me, when my parents came home from the grocery store, they would open the door, yell in the house, hey, come help with the groceries, right? And so we would all run out as kids and go try to grab as many grocery bags as possible, right? It was almost like a competition. You can't just grab one. You got to grab one in each hand. And then you would kind of pile them onto your wrist, you know, all the way up, because you got to beat the score from last week, right? You got to carry those things in. But here in the Lowcountry, they switched to paper bags, you know, so you can't really carry a lot. In fact, I like break the handles anyway. So we're doing that, right? And so I'm in middle school and we're pulling them out of the trunk of the car. Well, at the end of it, I get distracted and my hand is still sitting on the edge of the trunk. And the trunk gets closed, right? And it gets closed on one of my fingers. In fact, this ring finger right here, I didn't have a ring on it back then. But it's like, it's sitting there, and all of a sudden it gets closed on that finger. And can you imagine, right? Like I see everybody's faces. You just go to that moment where you've experienced that pain before, right? And the trunk is literally latched and closed, and my finger is in there. And I'm just... oh, I'm just looked down and kind of like in disbelief out of my body for a moment, like, what is happening right here, right? And I'm not sure. And then finally, they run around to the side of the car and hit the unlock button, and the trunk opens, and then all the blood goes to my finger. And that's when the pain hits. So it's just like, oh, like I just hit it. All of a sudden, my entire body is in like overload. Take care of this finger, right? Because the blood is rushing there. This hand has grabbed my finger. I'm holding on to it, holding it tight. My brain is going haywire. Like, what is happening? There's so much pain. What is this, right? And then my heart starts pumping harder and stronger. And I start like getting these little sweats. I'm like, oh no, it's just hurting, right? Because I'm experiencing that pain. And in that moment, I didn't go, it's just my finger, right? Like, don't worry about it. You know, it'll be okay, right? No, like my entire body began to move and function around this little bitty old finger, right? This one little thing right here, and it's centered around that. And whenever we look at the Bible, we see this analogy over and over and over again, that the church is the body of Christ. And that there are different parts of the body. And just like when I close my finger in the door, when one member affects all the other members of the body, right? And how we're interchangeable together. We're many different parts, but all connected in one body. And that is a very big principle, and we're going to try and break that all the way down. But in order for us to really realize what the church is called to be, is that all of those many different parts, and sometimes it can feel like we're all in these individual silos, but God's original plan is to say, no, we're one body functioning together. And you'll see this as we get further here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing the Corinthian church. And if you ever wondered, you know, like, are we getting it right? And I've seen churches mess it up. You just need to read the book of Corinthians, because you're like, wow, that's happening in the church. And Paul's got to correct this. And you see that humanity, anytime humanity enters the scene, things go haywire, right? Like anytime you enter people, sin enters and things go crazy, things go haywire, and God steps in and he has to kind of interchange and wind and put pieces back together and guide and direct and all those different pieces. So as we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is teaching and he's saying, look, here's what the church is supposed to look like. Here's what it's called to look like. And you're going to see he goes into very much detail. I have a lot of scripture today, so I know you're really excited and ready to take notes. We're going to put some of those notes on the screens for you as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading in verse 12. And it says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If we were all one single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." That's a lot of scripture there. And here's what I love about the Apostle Paul, is he doesn't just make one statement and then just kind of back away. He makes one statement and then he gets more descriptive and more descriptive and more descriptive, because the principle and the idea of the church is so important. He says that he starts off and says, just as the body is one and has many parts, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And you see that happen over and over again. And then he gets so descriptive, you know, and he starts talking about the ears and the eyes. And if the ear looks at the eye and says, "Hey, I don't need you," then we wouldn't be able to see. And he says, if the mouth says, looks to the nose and says, "I don't need you," then how am I going to be able to smell, right? And he depicts and he says, we have an outer body. I have the hand and my feet and my hands and my mouth and all of that. But then we have parts of our body that we can't see. Our heart, our nervous system, right? Our thyroid, right? Like all of these different pieces that we never see. But trust me, play a huge role in who you are and who I am, right? Even though, just because we can't see them. And he's saying the church operates in a very similar way. And the first thing that you and I have to realize is that when we are saved, when we become a Christian, we become one body with all believers. God moves us into the family of God, and you and I become the body of Christ as it's described in Scripture. And we see, it says, he says, Jews and Greeks and slaves and free. He begins to give these categories of people, of how they were raised, the traditions they were raised in, other religions that maybe they were a part of. All of this, right? He says, all of that comes under the name of Jesus. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, we become one body under the name of Jesus Christ. And so when I place my faith in Jesus, I'm a new creation in Christ, right? And so that part of that new creation is I'm a part of the family of God. And now you and I, as believers, we're a part of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see this. Ephesians 4:15 is kind of like my life verse. I love this verse. But Ephesians 4, it says this: rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from who the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And get this part right here. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. God has given us the church, given you, given me, and we each play a different role in a different part of the body. And it says when we work it out properly, the way that Scripture tells us to, it strengthens the church. We grow stronger. The ligaments are stronger. The bones and the muscles and all of those pieces come together, and it's like they're working together to be a stronger body for Christ. And so it's really important for you and I to understand that as we become one body, become the body of Christ, there's different roles that you and I play. And there's different things that we should do that are really important. And in order for us to grow and to be built up as the body of Christ, we must come together, right? Because if the enemy, one of his main tactics for you and I is to isolate, right? Is to go, you don't need to be a part of the church. You can have a relationship with God outside of the church. And technically speaking, for salvation, that is true. But the more you grow closer to Christ, the more you realize he's called the local church. That's his primary means of discipleship and equipping and having a relationship with him. He is saying the local church, he's like, that's my plan A. And I don't have a plan B, right? He's saying that is my plan, the local church. And he calls every believer to be a part of that. We see in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then look at this verse in Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. What a promise, right? Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he is present with them. What an encouragement to know. I'm not really good at math, but there's more than two or three in this room right now, right? Like, Jesus is here with us. Every time the church gathers, he says it is incredibly important. When you look at the early church in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, it says they gathered together regularly, not just on Sunday, but Mondays and Tuesdays in small groups in different areas, met in different homes, because gathering is important, because it's in the context of that gathering that God strengthens the body. The Holy Spirit begins to work through his body to equip and strengthen and make disciples and give us strength and power. All of those different pieces, it happens in that context of community. And he's saying, you are the physical representation of Christ on earth and with each other, that the Holy Spirit begins to work in and through his body. And just imagine you and I, I slam my finger into the trunk there. I didn't just go, oh, well, you know, I can just live my life without that finger. I mean, it's back restored now. See, look, got good range of motion. But as you begin to think about that in your life and in my life as the body of the church, if I didn't have it, I love this finger, right? Like, I want to have this finger. It enriches my life to have it, right? And for you and I as the body of Christ, to have you in it enriches the community that we have together. And imagine you not being in it. It leaves the void of a part of the body of Christ when we leave that void, right? Because God has a plan, a specific plan for you and your role in the church, and you add strength and are a part of that equipping process. And so when that one part is removed, that local particular church doesn't have your gifting maybe, or doesn't have that piece of the puzzle that God orchestrated. It says God chose and God orchestrated who's going to be where and what's going to happen here and the gifting that we receive, right? All of this happens. And so that's why it's so important for you and I to gather together. And because God begins to use you, He uses me and the gifting that He's given us to equip and strengthen and build up the body. And then He says that not one role is more important than the other. Even though you may see Daniel on stage more, teaching more, it doesn't mean that my role and the particular gifting that I have, because we have people serving all over the church. Miss Deb and the volunteers are serving back in the Bridge Kids Ministry. You may not see them every single week, but as those kids skip down the hallway and touch everything on the way, right? And they go into the classrooms and they sit down, or maybe you don't think they're listening, but you're planting the seeds of Jesus, right? And all of a sudden, God's using your gifting. And as like Miss Deb puts all that curriculum together and prays over the volunteers, prays over the kids, and all of those different pieces, God is using her in a supernatural way because the Holy Spirit is drawing those kids in. And God's working through those teachers back there. And even though we may not see that happen on a regular basis, God is still working in it. And even though you may not see Miss Bunny leading small groups and organizing the women's ministry and all of these different pieces, right? God is still using her, using all of these different pieces. And you may feel like it's insignificant. You may be out there as a greeter going, I'm just standing out here as a greeter. I'm just smiling and waving at people. I don't know if it's really that important. But when we realize, I'm the body of Christ. So when I smile and somebody sees that smile, I'm representing Christ when I give you this hug, when I give you this. All of a sudden, it just adds a whole nother element, right? And those are just the surface level things that God wants to use us and to equip each other and to encourage each other, because we get to partake in that. And He's called us. And you see the theme here in 1 Corinthians 12. He keeps going back to that one body, one body, one body. And He begins to show us this roadmap that He has for you and I. But then He goes in even deeper and a little further. And if you look up higher in the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He begins to show us, and He's saying that, yes, we're all one body, but we're each individual pieces. And God orchestrates that. Not only that, God gives. When you and I come to know Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, which is the power and presence of God dwelling in us. And a part of that is that He gives us a spiritual gift. And some of those spiritual gifts or gifts, spiritual gifts, and He gives us those gifts. And the reason and the purpose we have those gifts is to encourage each other, is to serve each other. And so I want to read this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And this is what it says. Verse 7, get this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I love that. So plain and simple. He says, hey, we've given a spiritual gift. It's given to each of us so we can help each other. And then verse 8. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. To the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. Some translations you'll see speaking in tongues. While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I love how the emphasis comes off of you and I, and it goes on God. And He says, God is the one that places and determines where you are in the body of Christ, and then even what gifting that God has given us. And we can't come to God and go, oh, I can't use my gifting, or look at my gifting and go, man, I wish I had Amanda's gifting, or I wish I had Jeff's gifting, or, you know, I can't go back, because God is saying He's the one that has orchestrated that. And the reason you and I, if you're taking notes, God gives gifts to individuals to build up the body. And He's given you that gift for a reason. And so if we're reading that, you may be asking the question, okay, if God gives us spiritual gifts, then what is my gift? Right? You may begin to ask, that's a logical question to go, well, what is my gift? How is God going to use me? And so I want to break that down over the next 4 hours, and then, I'm just kidding. Y'all were like, wait a second here. That joke never gets old. Anyway, as we begin to think about the spiritual gifts for you and I, is what is that gift? What gift has God given me? And look, I can't tell you the exact answer. I may be able to follow you around every day and watch you engage with other people, and I may be able to give you insight into what your gift may be, but I'm not the Holy Spirit, right? It takes an intimate relationship with God, and as He guides and directs us, we begin to see these things. But you may begin to notice, if you look in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans chapter 12, you begin to see the gifts of the Spirit that will work through us if you read some of those. And so you may want to start reading through what those look like. But you may realize that some of these are on the list. Are you incredibly hospitable? That hospitality is a spiritual gift. That you make people feel welcome and known by the way that you serve them. Are you a gifted leader? Leadership is a spiritual gift. Do you give wisdom? Do people come to you and say, hey, I need some advice. Can you help me understand how I take this lofty idea and principle and make it, pull it into reality, right? That's what wisdom is. And then maybe you have a supernatural way of showing mercy, that people just come into your life and you're able to show them mercy and grace in a supernatural way. Are you a gifted teacher? Can you tell when certain messages are off? That's called the gift of discernment. And you may, especially in the what I call like baby phase of your spiritual gift, you may just go, I don't know, something's off. I don't know what, you know, you may not even be able to describe it, but for some reason, but it will be confirmed. Like later on down the road, you'll go, I knew it. I knew something, right? Like I just knew something was off. And God begins to work. Or maybe do you share Jesus with people? Like you've given your life to Christ and it just flows out of you. Jillian, who's back there in our Bridge students, she, I believe, is a gifted evangelist. God's given her that spiritual gift because it just comes out of her. It's like she can't even contain it. It's like, oh, let me tell you about Jesus, right? And all of a sudden, because it's a spiritual gift, it's a gifting that God said, okay, here you go. And so for you and I, as we begin to think about it in our lives, I want to give us three steps that maybe you're sitting here going, like, I have no clue what God has gifted me to do, right? Ben, I would say we need to start just like the will of God. It's not on me. I don't determine what it is. So I need to look to God for Him to tell me, look at my life to see what He is doing in me and through me, because at the moment of salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, you receive the power and presence of God, and He begins to work in you in the gifting that He's given you. And so for you and I want to give you three steps that you can take starting this week. The first one is to pray and ask God specifically, God, will you give me insight in how you have gifted me? God, we just ask God specifically, right? Ask Him to do that. And as you pray, listen to His voice. Listen to how He begins to speak to you. And next week, we're talking about how do you hear the voice of God. So as we begin to dive into that. And then number two is, my encouragement for you is to, if you're joining the church, or maybe here for the first few times, or maybe been attending church, is to start serving. Start serving. Just start. You're like, I don't know where. I don't know what I should do. Just start serving somewhere, and God will begin to speak to you in that moment, because we know that serving is a principle of God, right? Like He's called us to serve. He's called us to be a part of the body of Christ. But when I take that faith step and I start to serve, I will start to see things in myself, and other people will start to see things in me as well, because I am serving, right? Because I'm a part of that. I would even encourage you, this is not in my notes, but I would encourage you to be a part of a small group. Because now you're a part of a group of people who can see your life outside of like Sunday morning and go, they can begin to speak into your life. The third thing is to ask people in the church what they see in you when you serve. So as you're serving or as you're in a group, you may ask the question, hey, what gifts do you see in me? Where do you see God at work in and through me? And if they're walking with you, they may be able to tell you some things that give you some insight, right? And as you're praying about it together, I can remember when I first gave my life to Christ and I was surrendered to Him, and they began to talk about serving. And if you've been going to our church for a while, you know where I started serving. A guy came up on stage and he says, hey, we need help in the preschool ministry. I was like, cool, copy, got it. And I signed up, preschool ministry, let's do this, right? Let's see what happens. But God began to do a work in that preschool ministry. It wasn't where I ultimately landed. It's not where I stayed, but that's where I started. And God paired me up. He brings the right people at the right time. There was a sweet lady who had been serving in preschool ministry for 20 years. And so here I am. I'm showing up every week with this spiritually mature lady who's pouring into these kids. And I got to watch her gift of teaching from the outside as she took these lofty theological principles and broke them down for preschoolers. And I was like, this is amazing. How are you doing? I'm learning so much. You know, I'm taking notes in the preschool like, I'm going to go home and learn this, right? But it wasn't until I started serving that I started to notice like, oh, okay. I'm good. I can see God at work here. Ooh, that's not me. That's not my gifting. I know that, right? And all of a sudden, I began to see that. And then I started joining. And then I joined a small group. And then one time, someone was like, "Hey, do you want to lead small group one week?" And I was like, "Sure, right?" And I went home and I studied like crazy. I mean, I was reading everything that I could read. And this was just a small group for students. And I just remained reading everything. And by the end of the week, I just remember being so full. Like, this is amazing. Like, I wish I could do this all the time. Like, study God's word and break down these principles, all these things. And all of a sudden, I started to see, okay, God may be doing something in me. And then when I would teach, other people would go, "Oh, God just spoke to me through you." And you were able to break that down. And it was, I didn't do anything but start taking steps of faith, right? And Timothy tells us to fan the flame of our gift. Once we kind of know what our gifting is, we start to learn more and fan the flame and step into it more and more and more and allow God to grow us in that. And those are steps that we can take, that we can work at, but yet God is the one who determines. I can't look at you and go, "Man, I wish I had the gift of the hospitality. I wish I could help every person feel welcomed and known." If it were up to me, we'd open the door, everybody sit down, let's go, let's talk, right? Let's dive into scripture. But we all know that the environment is important, right? Of how we make people feel. And there's this gifting that every person has, and one gifting is not more important than the other. But God has a gift in you that he wants to get through you. And the church is stronger with your gifting. And you and I, like our, the Bridge Church will be stronger when you and I are operating in our gift set. And as we operate in our gift set, my life will be enriched by your life. And I can't get everything that I can out of the local church if you're not using your gift and if I'm not using my gift, because I'm stronger when all of us are pursuing God. Our church is stronger when all of us are seeking after the heart of God and going, "Okay, God, how can you work through me? How can you work in me?" And then the body of Christ becomes one, and it becomes stronger because your faith and your life and your gifting. I don't have all the gifts. I need you in my life. You need me in your life. All of these different pieces, we work together, but it only happens when we step into that, when we step into God's plan for it. I'm going, "Okay, God, I may not fully understand. I may not even be sure that you can use me, but I'm going to start to believe you over myself. I'm going to start to believe you over the voices in my mind that tell me I can't, my past is too crazy," whatever it may be, right? As God begins to use us in a supernatural way. And so I want to kind of land the plane with the last part here. But it says this in verse 25 through 27. Everybody still doing okay? Very good. I need to walk the aisles? No? Okay. Verse 25, it says, "That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." What a reality for you and I, that we are the physical representation of Christ on this earth. That Jesus Christ came in the physical body, right? And then he went back to heaven and he says, "Okay, now you are my body. Now I'm going to work through you so that people can see me as the body of Christ works together. Not just me as an individual, but us together as the local church. And so the way that I treat people, the way that I interact, the way that I work in my gifting, now people are seeing God through me." We become a part of the puzzle. When somebody goes, "How do you know God is real?" And I'll go, "Just last Sunday, I saw him work through a whole bunch of different people in their gifting," right? Every single, you need to come see this, right? Whatever it may be, because I see God at work in us and through us. And I was reminded of this as you and I begin to think about how God is going to use us. There is an Old Testament story, if you're familiar with it. It's with a woman named Esther. And God works through Esther in a powerful way to change a whole nation. And what's happening here, just to kind of really quickly sum it up, is that Esther becomes queen through a pretty crazy radical turn of events. And so she becomes queen, and then the Jewish people are getting ready to be annihilated because of one evil man. And she has this person who is speaking to her from her family, and he tells her, "You need to go talk to the king. You can make a difference," right? Like, your voice matters. And so Mordecai goes to her and he says, "I want you to think about this, that maybe you are made queen for such a time as this." And I just think about that for you and me, is that God knew that you were going to be in this generation, live in the Low Country, attend this church, and I believe for such a time as this, that God has your gifting, where you're at right now, God wants to work through you as his body. And changing lives is his specialty, as Jacob was just sharing today of his friend giving his life to Christ. That happens all the time because God is always at work, and he wants you to join in on that. He is saying, "Look, you're my body. Believe it. Live in it. Begin to learn how to operate in it." And he's saying, for such a time as this. And so as you and I step back and we look at the world and go, "Woo, the world is evil. It's everything is going crazy." We're going, okay, it's time for the body to step up, right? Like, it's time for us to get on the move to show them a better way, heaven's way, right? We operate on a whole new system, and it's not a moment for us to cower back, but for us to step in. Why? Because we're the light of the world. We're the city that's up on a hill. God is saying, "I'm sent you for such a time as this." And I think that every single one of us has a part to play. And I'm so convinced of it when I read Scripture. I believe that as God brings the right people at the right time, I physically watched our church get stronger. As certain people came, our church as a body got stronger. And as more people come and their gifting comes, you see the church get stronger. And I'm talking not numbers, I'm talking spiritually speaking. Right? We go further in our relationship with God. We see more people walk into a relationship with God because the body, you see Ephesians 4 happening in real life, that the ligaments are getting stronger, and all of this because we're working together. But I hope that you leave this place today knowing, one, I either need to give my life to Jesus, because that's the first and foremost that he wants for your life. And then after that, it's going, okay, how do I want to take some steps of faith, and I want to be an active part of the body of Christ, of what that looks like and how God begins to do that. And we begin to pray and ask that, or maybe it's jumping on a serve team somewhere, or jumping in a small group, jumping in community. And then it's even kind of opening up even further in community, going, "Hey, what do you see in me?" Right? And it's one of my favorite things, if you're a mature Christian, and maybe you know what your gifts are, but for you to know, okay, now I'm going to start looking in our church, and if I'm serving with someone and I notice something in them, I'm gonna speak out. I'm going to speak up and go, "Hey, did you know that you're really good at this? Or every time you talk about a principle, you kind of illustrate it this way," or whatever it may be. Or, "Hey, have you noticed how you deal with people?" Whatever it may be, you and I have an opportunity to call that out in people, to help them understand and discover their gifting as well. And what an amazing opportunity that you and I have. And so as I close here, I would just love to pray for us and go, as I talk about this, what is this faith step that God's calling you to take? Is that I'm going to really start to seek the heart of God on this. I'm going to really begin to pray and journal what I feel like he is talking to me about. Maybe I need to jump on a serve team or jump in a small group. Or maybe for me, I need to begin to ask people what my gifting is, right? But I'm telling you, God is faithful. And he shows up and meets us right where we are every time we take those faith steps. And we see that happen over and over again. And for you, maybe you're sitting here saying, "Oh, wow, all of that sounds great, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus." I would love to pray with you today to help you make that decision and take that step with Christ. Because that is the piece, right? That is the part where we become a new creation in Christ. And so I just want to pray for us as we close here today. And I believe that God wants to speak to your heart as individuals, as we're a part of this one united body as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your word, your truth. Thank you how your word still speaks to us today. God, thank you that you give us clarity, you give us wisdom, you give us hope. And I pray that for each individual that can hear the sound of my voice, God, I pray that you will begin to speak into their life. I pray that you'll bring, one, revelation of who you are, and then, two, that you'll begin to speak at how you're arranging them in the local church here today. God, I pray that then we would have the courage to take those faith steps and to respond to what you are doing in us and through us. God, I pray that we would be united under your name, that the Holy Spirit would unite us, would empower us, and give us boldness to be the body, to be the physical representation as we leave this place to the world around us. God, I pray that we are reminded that the church is not a building, but it's when a body of believers gathers together under the name of Jesus, that we soak in your presence, soak in your truth. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's